The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Good morning, everyone, or I guess whatever time it is when you're listening. My name is Andrew Locher. I'll be your host today for the Trumpet Daily. Mr. Stephen Fleury, as you probably know, is traveling through Israel and back up into the United Kingdom this week, and he'll be back with hopefully a lot of really exciting news for us. It is hard to keep up with everything that's taking place. God's work is involved in so many different areas. I'll try to mix in some of those areas as we go through the program today. But I just encourage you, as we always do, to stay tuned in to KPCG to just keep you informed of everything that we're a part of. We're so pleased to make everything available to you free of charge. We don't ever charge money. There's never follow-up. If you'd like to follow up with us, if you'd like to take a more active role in this work, we'd love to have you let us know that. You could do so by giving us an email at td@thetrumpet.com. You can call our toll-free number, 866-930-3024. We have all kinds of other ways to keep you informed. If you prefer emailed newsletters, we have that base covered for you. You could subscribe to world news events. You could subscribe to even some Christian Living emails that come out as alerts. Perhaps you prefer a correspondence course. We have that available to you as well online. Or if you want printed materials, those materials are all available to you on our Trumpet website. We have printed materials that get mailed to your home. There's just an abundance of material available to you. There are a lot of programming options here on KPCG. We also have over 1,000 videos that you could watch. You get the point. There's plenty that we have to offer you to hopefully educate you in our teachings, what God teaches through the Bible, but also to just keep up with what's going on in the world around us. It can be very difficult to know what is the most significant thing to watch. We try to help you with that. And again, we cover all different areas of the world. We're happy to have you just join us and take a look. If you haven't been to our website, I encourage you to go there, thetrumpet.com. That's where you'll find these resources and where you can sign up for some of those newsletters. Thank you for the listening that we get on CRN. We also live stream on our website. You could watch us on Facebook. There's, again, a lot of options there for you. You really can't afford to miss any episode, and that's why we make a library available to you. We encourage feedback and comments. We want this to really be really the foundation of your day as you just really try to understand what's happening around us. There is so much to watch. It's difficult to narrow down a focus for a program. Could talk to you, of course, and we will, about the conflict, the war in Ukraine, the financial toll it's taking all over the world, out of control inflation. They say the average American now has an increased price due to inflation of about $260 to $300 a month. So just living the same way you did will now cost you $280 to $300 more per month. The war in Ukraine is taking thousands of lives. The number of refugees that are fleeing are numbering into hundreds of thousands, perhaps even into the millions. The Tucker Carlson reported just on a lot of different things that have been impacted by this war in Ukraine. And that's kind of what I wanted to touch on today, is just some of the impacts that you feel outside of just watching the nightly news, outside of suffering through the images, that people's lives are now very different all over the world, not just in Ukraine. Tucker Carlson talked about the fact that Russia produces so much fertilizer that the world imports from Russia, that it's just another way the Russians can reverse some of these economic strategies to impact us. They can sanction us, in other words. Wheat futures are skyrocketing right now. I just took a look at those right before I came over, and I learned that Russia and Ukraine account for 60% of the wheat that's imported into Egypt. Now, they are big exporters of wheat all over the world. And again, there's some leverage there. In addition to energy sources, there's a lot of leverage that both sides have to wield against one another. I'll touch on more news in just a moment. Wanted to tell you we had a very successful college outing at Robbers Cave. At least that's what we call it this year. We were at a different park in northeast Oklahoma. And it's a great program that ties the student body together with the faculty, with some graduates, some administrators. We have an opportunity to fellowship together, to just enjoy a lot of activities. If you're watching online, you can see some of the pictures. We camp out and just really enjoy each other's company. It does build unity. It's something that we feel is very much a necessity in this awful world that is suffering through a lot of different problems. I was a little bit tied up myself. I bought a new RV, and not a new one, a used one, and had some problems. But everything that I've heard about the camp out was great. I spent some of my time reinforcing the fact I'm not a good plumber, and tried to work on that some more. It was a good time to refresh ourselves. Coming back to school now, we have a lot of activities prepared for the summer. Our youth programs, our personal appearance campaigns, the Celtic Throne presentation, so many different things taking place all over the world. I felt the increase in the price of gas as I drove down to this activity. I have a truck, and I was listening to just a Fox News station on the drive down there, and I was thinking about the price of gasoline. According to this Fox News story, the average American is going to spend $2,000 extra in the next 12 months if the prices remain where they are right now. But of course, they're not going to. They are going to increase. Salaries don't increase with inflation typically. And what we're finding is the cost of food, and now especially the cost of fuel, is very, very much out of control. On average, the cost for gasoline as of yesterday was a little bit over $4 a gallon. If you go to California, there are several different cities where the price of gas is closer to $7 per gallon. Brent crude oil, I just looked at the market for that, and that's already up 7% today. 7%. This is the first time that the price of gasoline has averaged more, or sorry, the second time, has averaged more than $4 a gallon since 2008. And we are very soon going to pass by that and set the all-time record high for the price of gas. And this is when we're trying to come out of COVID. We're coming into holiday seasons where travel is promoted, where the economy really relies on consumer spending. That's obviously going to be constricted now with the rising costs for fuel. The heating oil has increased, the cost for heating oil increased 11% so far today as a result of the war in Ukraine, the supply chain problems, the fact that the so-called president today has reversed energy policies that just a few years ago had us as an energy independent nation, not impacted by wars overseas. And actually, we were a stabilizing force for the world. We're not as likely in the United States to invade other countries or to create problems like this. I guess people would debate that one way or the other. But there is a certain stability that the Western nations bring to the energy, the field of energy. And with us not producing now and relying on other countries, we are setting ourselves in a very precarious position. Yesterday on thetrumpet.com, Andrew Miller had an article posted about gas prices pushing the United States toward recession. It's not a small impact. He said high fuel prices would stall economic growth as people spend more money on fewer goods. Now, it's interesting, this whole situation, because as you're fully aware, the liberals for years and years and years have tried to push us away from the petroleum industry into these renewable energy sources. I mean, it all sounds great if it could happen. And yet you come into a crisis situation like this and you realize how dependent we are upon petroleum products. If you think back to last year and the very unusual polar vortex that dipped down south into Texas that really disabled some of these alternate energy sources. This world is tied to petroleum and to bury our heads in the sand to not understand its full chokehold it has on our economy is just simply naive. Now is not the time to try to change that. And so if part of the failure of our national leadership in providing more energy for our economy, if part of that is just to push these renewable energy sources, this Green New Deal, it's going to really, really have a damaging impact on our economy. Mr. Miller said, these decisions are not about the environment. They are about making energy more expensive in the United States and cheaper in other parts of the world. This strategy has weakened America and empowered Russia at the expense of the Ukrainian people. Now, there's just so many facts to unwrap in that. Our policy decisions are, in some cases, greed, our failure to follow science, to look at reality. That is costing lives of Ukrainian people. We can separate ourselves. We can distance ourselves from what's taking place over there. And yet this path that we're on right now is destabilizing the world. It's not making it better or safer. Our policy decisions cost lives all over the world. It's chaos. And the sad thing is, if you just step back, it doesn't really appear that those that are responsible are that troubled by their decisions. Now, I am not in their heads. I don't know. But surely we are creating problems for this world. There's been the moral outrage that the United States is still importing oil from Russia. That decision was just reversed by so-called President Biden not but 10, 15 minutes ago. He had a national press release where he basically said that the United States now will boycott Russian oil imports. We will not be buying oil from them. We still need the energy, and there's not too many other suppliers out there that are agreeable to us. Though we have the capacity to meet some of those needs ourselves here, we will in fact be turning to Venezuela, Iran, and other nations that really we should not be supporting financially either. The European Union has they're somewhat chained to Russia. They are going to reduce their oil imports, but they can't turn them off. Russia, in turn, is threatening to turn off some supplies. This is such a complicated mess that we're living in, and it's the world of man. It's a world of deceit and lies, and an impact of war in one country can change lives all over the world and in a lot of very different and perhaps unexpected ways. So it's a moral boycott of Russian oil, and it has apparently bipartisan support, and yet it's really just evidence of the curses that are on this nation, the curses that are on the Western nations. We really are held hostage because of the terrible decisions, the terrible policies that we've set forward. And again, we often think of the price of gasoline at the pump. Maybe we didn't think about the impact on the price of wheat. If you watched Tucker Carlson's program last night, he introduced another huge, huge problem. And I'll just let you hear it from him. Let's go with clip one, please.
But we should prepare to lose our position as holder of the world's reserve currency. That is happening in slow motion. It's unmistakable. Now, the Biden people seem to have no idea this is going on, or maybe they want it to happen. Joe Biden was up there at the State of the Union bragging about how he took 30 points off the Russian ruble in a single day. Hooray, good for us. But once we stop celebrating our win, the destruction of the Russian economy, they deserve it. You got to wonder, is there a downside to this? Could it be a Pyrrhic victory? Let's see. These policies have driven Russia, China, India, Turkey, and other countries to accelerate their flight from the U.S. dollar. Now, to be clear, that's the majority of the global economy. This may be the most reckless and destructive thing any American president has ever done to the United States. If the war in Ukraine ended tomorrow, we would live with the consequences of that loss of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency for the rest of our lives. No one in Washington is even acknowledging this is happening.
Yeah, nobody's talking about it. I don't know enough about it to really explain the full ramifications, but I can tell you we have taught about this and warned of some of the impacts that it will cause. If Tucker is right, then we have made yet another massive blunder as an administration. We see failures all around us. These are curses that are happening to us. And the ripple effects are not being considered. Or if they are, they are being maybe shrugged off with some unrealistic expectation that they won't impact us. If you watched all of Tucker's show, you'd see he addressed the propaganda that's being put out there. I think, if I recall, he even admitted that some of the things he reported were later proven to be false. It's just very difficult to really understand what's truthful, what's happening, what's not, what's propaganda. We're being kind of buffeted about emotionally and even with policy decisions based on propaganda. That is part of modern warfare. It's a huge part of modern warfare. And the Western people seem to be especially naive. Mr. Stephen Fleury has been talking about Mr. Herbert Armstrong's explanation of communism and how they sought to gain control. And you're seeing the fruits of it now. And it's just, it's a world that we don't understand. The Western nations are naive to this line of thinking. And we just stumble along right where some of these other powers want to take us. But my point is, and as you've heard many times on this program, it's not so much an individual like Vladimir Putin. It's not so much the impact of one or two people. We are dealing with a world, a chaotic world that's influenced directly by Satan the devil, by his demons. Think about this quote from Mr. Herbert Armstrong. This is October 1978. It was in a Plain Truth magazine. He said, "Yesterday I was writing an article about how Satan broadcasts, how he is the prince of the power of the air, how he now surcharges the air with the moods and attitudes of discontent, unhappiness, vanity, lust and greed, of jealousy and envy, the spirit of competition, antagonism and strife, of suspicion and resentment against others, of fear and worries and frustrations, of rebellion against authority, especially God's authority. Satan literally injects this unhappy state of mind into people. I've said it so often, he does not broadcast in words, pictures, sounds, or music, but subtly in moods, attitudes, impulses, and feelings." That's what we're up against. And each human being, regardless of gender, regardless of nationality, we're all subject to these broadcasts. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's charging the air with deceit and murder and lies, with mood swings, with division and anger. The Fox News host that I listened to yesterday when I was driving, a caller asked him, "Well, why would the administration make some of these just terrible decisions? Aren't they thinking about the future? Aren't they thinking about reelection?" And this Fox News host suggested that no, President Biden, so-called President Biden, knows he's not running for office again. He knows this is it for him. It doesn't bother him. And what you'd expect, a lot of talk about Hillary Clinton. Kamala Harris has already wrecked her potential, I think, just by her actions and doesn't carry a lot of confidence among the voters. And that's just the thing. There is an election coming up. There are midterm elections. And how can the Democrats survive? But honestly, how can any politician survive? We don't favor one party over another. We represent God. We look at the facts and the truth as best we can. We compare it to the Bible. And yet you look at politicians that have other motivations, perhaps, maybe some financial motivations. I don't know. I don't want to get into all of that. I think we all have a pretty good idea, though. And so here we come up to the midterm elections, and the primaries have already started. They started in March in Texas. The big national election takes place, obviously, in November 8th this year. There are 34 open seats in the Senate or that will be contested. 14 of those are Democrat, 20 are Republican. And then all 435 seats in the House of Representatives are up for election on November 8th. So while this is all taking place, there will be some feedback. There have been some gerrymandering. There have been all kinds of issues that just don't give you any confidence in the election system. You know, we're often told that we can sound our protests through the elections, and that's not even true to this day. So the world is burning. The world is fighting war. It's running out of money. There's corruption everywhere. And God has his people focused on giving, on training. We need to be educated and prepared for what lies ahead, God's way of life. And that's why we encourage you so frequently to get involved with our literature, to watch our programming, to really change your life based on what God teaches us. The more you understand God's way, the easier and the better, or the more easy it is for you to embrace that way of life. It is a way of peace. In Romans chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." There's a lot to think about in that scripture as well. We must hear. We don't know of and by ourselves. Naturally, we're opposed to it. Passively, sometimes aggressively, we're hostile toward God. So we need to hear. We need to make the effort to listen. We need to make the effort to do. That's the missing element with so many individuals. There's a lot of people that listen to God's word, but there are so few that allow it to change their lives. And that's what God needs us to do. Mr. Stephen Fleury really hit on that scripture as he went around in the last few years to some of our personal appearance campaigns. Our intention is to start those up again in the late spring, and over the summer, we will be giving you more details about that as we move along. This is the time of year, if you're part of the church, if you're studying into the holy days, this is the time of year that we reflect on how we are doing with being doers and not just hearers. We have to be learning. We have to be giving. Back on campus here, we are continuing to work with the college students. The work program is in full swing. There's a lot to be doing, papers, midterms. We've hired several more people to assist in the production of these materials and the distribution of them. The work is really growing. We have a concert season that's back in full swing. And it's a way that we give back to the local area. It's also a way to just educate ourselves, to be cultured. Perhaps the highlight of the year is coming up with Israel in Egypt. That's an in-house production. Our music director, Ryan Malone, has been working for months with our local members and students. We have some professional musicians coming in to accompany them. That concert's coming up very soon. We also have another concert with Tabia Debu and Kevin Payne, and I probably said that wrong, and I'm sorry. We have Chanticleer coming here, as well as some of the honors recitals for our student body. And so we're trying our best to keep God's perspective in God's environment, motivating all of us, stirring us. Because as you look at all of these problems in the world, they really, really can be very frustrating, very discouraging. God's way is not that way. We do have some rough seas to navigate, but we are coming into a really peaceful time in the not too distant future. But before we get there, we have a lot to go through. We have been doing really well with our income. It's just been outstanding this year. We are about 75% increased over the same period last year. Last year was by far our best year of income. So we are being blessed with great resources to do this work. We're investing those resources in expanding the proclamation of this message. We're out there trying to promote the Key of David program, the Trumpet Daily, the literature that we have. We have been expanding the Key of David program, and we've lost a few national networks over the last few years for programming changes on their part. But we've signed a contract with Comet TV and Charge TV. Comet is on Dish Network, in case you have Dish Network. But these two networks, Comet and Charge, they also, they're broadcast over the air. They're on cable. You can find them on Roku or Apple TV, a lot of different ways for you to tune into the program. So if you aren't able to watch us now, you might check to see if you have Charge or Comet networks, and then you'll find us there Sunday morning. I believe it's 6 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. Eastern time. We've also contracted with another station in New York City because we're doing so well there. We've contracted with stations and cities in Minneapolis, Kansas City, Baltimore, Charleston, Charlotte, Beaumont, a lot of new markets to carry the Key of David program. Our response has been higher than last year, about 15% increase in response. We've had some great programs just in the last month or so. Again, you can find all of this on our website, thetrumpet.com. You'll find links to all the videos. Be sure to follow up with that. One last area I want to get into before we take a short break is just Jerusalem. As this world is focused on Ukraine, as it focuses on all kinds of hot spots everywhere else, we find God's focus is on Jerusalem. Mr. Gerald Fleury, Mr. Steve Fleury, and Mr. Wayne Turgeon are over there working with representatives from Hebrew University, the Antiquities Authority in Israel, a few private groups. They are looking to expand our operations there. We've acquired the libraries, personal libraries, of Dr. Benjamin Mazar and Dr. Elot Mazar. Both, I'm sure you know of them from our programming, but really some of the best archaeologists that have ever really dug in the dust. We are endeavoring to purchase a building that will house our library. We have an institute over in Israel about biblical archaeology. We're hoping to be more involved in some projects. We're out excavating alongside Hebrew University. A lot of excitement taking place over there in Israel. We have great finances for it. We accept donations toward archaeological excavations in Jerusalem and in Israel throughout the country. And again, the finances have been solid there too. You probably know we have two full-time staff members over there. We've hosted up to, like, I think, close to 10 different excavations over the years. Just a lot taking place in Israel. When we come back, I'll explain why we have a focus there. But for now, let's take a short break.
The Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Thank you for being with us today. I mentioned right before that break that I'd explain to you briefly why we're so focused on Jerusalem. And the quick and simple answer is that's where God's focus is. We have a really great, very interesting booklet about Jerusalem in prophecy. We have another booklet entitled, The Eternal Has Chosen Jerusalem. We have a booklet on the Middle East and prophecy. There's a lot of material that we have that helps explain the value and the importance of Jerusalem to God and to God's people. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 6, God says, "But I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel." See, we have to take our direction, our marching orders, you could say, from God. And God is most interested in Jerusalem. And while the world's attention shifts from continent to continent or issue to issue, ultimately it's going to come right back to Jerusalem. And that's why we are working to establish the institute there. God says he wants his name to be there. Students of Bible prophecy should know that Christ will return to the Mount of Olives, that the world gathers around Jerusalem to fight one another, and ultimately they turn their weapons against Christ. There's another battle that comes at the end of the millennium. I won't get into all of that now, but basically we're approaching a time where there will not be war any longer. We will, of course, report on developments in Jerusalem, but you'll hear about those occasionally. You can stay more on top of what we're doing there. You can be proactive yourself and visit our website, armstronginstitute.org. Armstronginstitute.org. It's really a great site to visit. I just wanted to quote to you a little bit about the emblem that you'll see there for Armstrong Institute of Biblical Archaeology. This was written in February. It says, "What is the meaning behind our institute's emblem? At the top is depicted a seven-branched menorah, which is a golden symbol continually of burning light. On either side of the menorah are olive branches, and that refers to Zechariah chapter 4. Flanking this central image on our emblem are two lions. The lion symbol was used by Herbert Armstrong for his organization since the mid-20th century. It is also linked to the Mazar family. The text in the lower half of the emblem can be translated as, 'The stones will cry out.' That's taken from Habakkuk 2, verse 11. And it also fits very nicely with Dr. Mazar's saying that of let the stones speak. So I got a little bit out of order there for the guys, the producers. I'm sorry for that. I do encourage you to visit the website armstronginstitute.org to learn more. Well, I did want to put some focus on, see if I can keep this organized now, but put some focus on what has been happening over in Ukraine. It's interesting, about 7 to 10 days ago, Vladimir Putin threatened both Finland and Sweden, basically threatening them not to join NATO. He said he will not allow them to join. I got thinking about Finland and Sweden, Norway, and started to wonder, well, why these two seemingly insignificant nations on this Scandinavian peninsula? What's so important about them? I had some suspicions, and I think some of it was right. What's so threatening about them? Why were they singled out? Norway is a member of NATO. In fact, I was going to read you a list. I won't take the time to do that. NATO is currently made up of 27 European nations, two from North America, and one country from Eurasia. Right, Canada, the United States, Germany, Greece, Hungary, France. You could go down through the list. Of course, Russia's threats against those two nations, Finland and Sweden, was responded to by a joint NATO meeting with civilian and military leaders from those two nations as they discussed their future about joining NATO. I read a really interesting article. It was March 4th. On defensenews.com, that's the website. The title of the article is, "Finland and Sweden May Take Unhurried Route to NATO Membership." It's an article analyzing, if this is such an important issue, if the Russians are concerned about it and Western Europe is concerned about Finland and Sweden, why would they be slow walking their way to negotiations to become part of NATO? Clearly, they're considering the threat from Vladimir Putin and don't want to incur his wrath. Perhaps that's part of it. This article pointed out that both nations are going to wait until they can bring the matter before their population. There's a change in leadership that's scheduled. So September 2022 and then April 2023 are the times that these elections will take place and that they'll vote on the topic. Now, that seems a little bit inconceivable to me, considering war is right on their doorstep, and their countries have been called out. There have been threats from both sides. But what's interesting is if you study the geography of Finland and Sweden, it becomes very apparent that that is their point of leverage. They don't have huge populations. They contribute to the global economy, but not on a scale to where they could threaten other nations. They have tried to remain neutral in times past. I'll talk about that in a moment. But it's their geography. Their geography. And it's interesting in going through this article about, again, I just kind of struggled to wrap my mind around what they're thinking. This is from that same article. It says, Nordic suspicions... Oh, sorry. I got ahead of myself. I'll just read this quote first. Nordic suspicions, if proven accurate, would directly threaten the sovereignty of neighboring NATO-aligned Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. I encourage you to get out a map of Europe, to look at the location of these countries, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. Look at where Finland is situated. Study that map and you see very quickly why all of those nations would be threatened by Vladimir Putin as he works to rebuild the former Soviet empire. So there's great threat. They've been directly threatened by the defense minister. They have been engaged by parties in NATO trying to get a decision. And yet there's a disconnect, a real disconnect in Finland and Sweden. From this article, it says there have been promising developments in the area of common procurements through Nordefco. It's just an acronym. It says the latest of which covers a joint $464 million deal to acquire soldiers' uniforms. That's what they're hailing as this great partnership between Finland and Sweden on this Scandinavian peninsula. They've spent $460 million on uniforms. Uniforms. Not on weapons. Not on, you know, an investment in other military strategy. Now, again, I'm not there part of the meetings. But to read that today, I was just honestly quite shocked. Finland and Sweden are part of the Enhanced Opportunity Partnership with NATO. There's six nations. They're not part of NATO, but they are quasi-associated with NATO. And so they have some comfort there. But you know who else falls in that category? Ukraine. Look at what's happening in the world around. They really do need to concern themselves with the state of the world. So what else is it that causes Finland to be so important to Russian military awareness? Why is Russia concerned about Finland? Well, Finland shares the longest land border with Russia of all the European Union nations. There's essentially 830 miles of shared border between Finland and Russia. Now, Putin fears Western military positions next door to him, just like Poland. You know, there's only 560 miles from the Finnish-Russian border to Moscow. That puts Moscow in range of the short-range ballistic missiles. A lot of the weaponry can be less sophisticated and have a dramatic impact on Moscow. If you just consider the proximity of the two nations and the capital city, Moscow, if you do engage in modern warfare, the flight times, the response times to an attack would be just a matter of minutes to make some very serious decisions. The Finnish Navy at the end of World War II was prohibited from having and using submarines. And so today, as they report, they don't have any submarines, but they do have 246 surface warships. The Air Force of Finland consists of 134 Western fighters. Most of those are FA-18s, some of our more sophisticated exported fighter jets made by Boeing. They've contracted to buy 60 F-35 advanced fighters. And it's really their coastal missile system that probably concerns the Russian Navy the most. Here is a country, few in number as far as population, not overwhelming in the amount of military assets that they have at their disposal. But if you look at, and again, if it depends on how much is propaganda, but the toll that the Russian military is taking in this invasion of Ukraine, if you match that up against some of these numbers from Finland, it could be a very risky endeavor for the Russians to either take it or to not control it. Sweden, as just to give you a few facts about Sweden, they have more than 270 fighter jets. They have electronic warfare capabilities, some helicopters, some transport, that type of thing. Its Navy is not all that substantial, but they do specialize in anti-submarine capabilities. Sweden, during World War II, was neutral, though if you look at a lot of their history, they did tend to favor the Nazis and the Germans, helping them in different ways. So we're looking at a strategic advantage for Finland and Sweden if they remain part of the Western powers. They really pose a great threat to Russia if they were to join NATO. They are the two closest countries to Russia in the Arctic Circle. And again, it's just this close weapon system. It's a land bridge for a land assault into Russia that really concerns Vladimir Putin quite a bit. Now, this is all hugely important because the Russian Navy, their largest naval fleet, I guess you could say, is located behind Finland and Sweden. It's in northern Russia. They have to pass by Finland. They have to pass by Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Germany, and the UK to put their naval ships out to sea. The majority of Russians, of the Russian submarine fleet, is based there in the north. All, at least from what I learned today, all of their nuclear-powered vessels are docked up at that port. And so you could really bottle up the Russian Navy. If they don't have their Navy at their disposal, and if they have to pass through Europe via land, it leaves them with few options besides some ballistic missiles. In modern warfare, things have gotten very, very complicated. The foreign minister of Russia warned different Western nations from sending armaments to Ukraine and some of the other NATO allies. He said it could cause a global collapse. So the toll on human life is mounting in Ukraine. Again, it depends on which source you look at. The United States government estimates 3,000 Russian soldiers have been killed. Reuters reported yesterday 11,000 soldiers have been killed. I think it was the Mirror in the UK. Yeah, the Mirror. They reported that Russia's lost like 285 tanks, 1,000 armored vehicles, 109 artillery systems, maybe two naval vessels, 44 planes, 48 attack helicopters. This has been quite a battle. A lot of equipment, a lot of destruction in this battle. There's intelligence now that a second major assault on Kyiv is being planned. All of this has been complicated by the politics of the West. Sorry, I did get my notes out of sequence here. Let me just grab my other page. Well, I don't see it, so we're just going to kind of move forward. Here you have this threat. Will the war expand? Will it engage other nations? How big does the empire have to get? Those are all really good questions. Well, I wanted to take another short break and come back and talk about one of our most important books, Mystery of the Ages. I'm sure you've seen it. We've talked about it all the time. I want to talk about the mystery of the church and explain how all of this ties together with what we're seeing in the world around us today. So we'll take a short break and come right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
I'm speaking to you from our television studios in Pasadena, where I speak to the world as a voice crying out in the wilderness of modern religious confusion.
Herbert W. Armstrong was the world's leading televangelist and one of the most prominent religious leaders of the 20th century. Watched, read, and followed by millions worldwide. But his legacy of Bible-based humanitarianism came under attack after he died. the cabal of leaders who took control of the church he founded, after pledging to follow in his footsteps, methodically destroyed all he had built. Those who would stop them were silenced or excommunicated. This shocking story of betrayal and deception is told in Raising the Ruins. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
So as you can tell from watching programming here on The Trumpet Daily, if you've watched the Key of David program, you understand that God expects us to be pretty sophisticated in our understanding. We do need to have a certain grasp on economics, on history, politics. We really need to be attuned to what God says through His church. We need to be good Bible students and have a great relationship with God. As you do so, you realize that God is not a respecter of persons. You come to understand that God has a plan for all of mankind. He's not biased. He really intends to add everybody to His family. But it's a matter of choice. It's a matter of education. My wife and I were just talking about how challenging it is to try to be expert in these different areas, to keep up to speed with everything that God expects us to be up to speed with. And it does require a lot of effort. It requires a teacher. In Mystery of the Ages, the sixth chapter, the sixth of the great mysteries that are explained in that tremendous book inspired by God, the sixth chapter is about why the church. Why are we here? Why is there a corporate entity? Why is there a spiritual entity? In Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong says, "Perhaps the greatest mystery of all will not seem at first glance to be a mystery to most of the readers of this volume. The reason that this is true is the fact that the true purpose and meaning of God's church is as little understood as the Bible itself. The revelation of that mystery must come as a shocking truth. The real truth about the church and the reason for its origin and its purpose has remained hidden from even professing Christians around the world." That's really quite a statement. Most people would think they understand why a church exists. Most people think that they know this truth about the true church of God. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, Christ says, "I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So God tells us that He's building a church that won't die. It comes as revelation from God. The answer of why the church has to come from God, we don't know. We don't know, but God does tell us. Now, what's interesting, if you study your Bible, you'd expect to find the word church all through the Bible. And yet, it's not till you get to Matthew 16, probably like two-thirds of your way through the Bible, no mention of a church or that word used in the Old Testament, church. Why? Why wait for that long to bring it up? Those are great questions to ask. Consider, why did Christ establish it? What is its purpose? Is it necessary to fulfill God's plan to have a church? All of those answers are in Mystery of the Ages. He says, "But if it is God's church, if Jesus Christ founded it and today heads it, it is something important to God and therefore vital that we come to understand." In class, even today, I teach using Mystery of the Ages. And I brought up the point that if the church is important to God, shouldn't it be to us? It needs to be more than just a passing curiosity. If God gives us a church to teach us, then shouldn't we be enrolled? Shouldn't we be learning? How important is God's true church to you, to me? Whether you're in the church or if you're just interested in this message, that's a really good question for us to ponder. And really, you have to step back and remove yourself from that question. You can't be selfish. The church doesn't exist for selfish purposes. The church is not here to help me with salvation or just to help you. There's a much greater purpose for God to establish his church. What's interesting, if you study Christ's own words in John chapter 6, verse 44, he says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." You can't just stumble across this truth and really get the full value of the church. God is actually involved in drawing your attention to it. You can't just become Christian of and by yourself. You have to be called. And then you have to change. You have to make decisions, to surrender yourself to God. Mr. Armstrong in Mystery of the Ages uses the analogy of a state teacher's college to explain the purpose of God's church. You see, it exists today. Christ established the church. He founded it upon his teachings, upon the revelation through the other prophets. The church is established to teach us. The analogy used by Herbert Armstrong was a state teacher's college, that if you were to establish an educational program throughout the state, before you can open the doors for the students, you have to have a ready and established teacher or teachers and administration. I think there's a big earthquake going on. I don't know if it's big. I don't know if that's what I'm hearing. But nonetheless, anyway, sorry, a little distracting. God needs to establish a church to teach and to train. And that's the purpose of what we're a part of. God's church is teaching us. It is preparing us and training us as a teacher's college. We have to come up to speed, as I said, with some of these more complex issues. We need to understand how to live God's way. And that's what the church gives us, what it shares with us. Understanding this concept, understanding why Jesus Christ came. And this, again, is an area of a lot of confusion. There's a lot of people that think they understand why Jesus Christ came. I think they look at the world and say, well, Christ came to try to save people. Satan's really made a wreck of things. And so he started all these churches to teach the name of Jesus Christ, to just make us familiar with that name. And that will somehow have an impact. But what they don't realize, what most people don't realize, is that Christ did not come the first time to save the world. Christ came for some very specific purposes. As we wrap up today's program, I'll give you some of those purposes of why Christ came and how it relates to the church. And I do so to just simply encourage you to request Mystery of the Ages. If you have one, get it out and restudy chapter 6. Why? Why did Christ come 2,000 years ago? First, he came to qualify to replace Satan on the throne of this earth. God gave administrative responsibilities of the earth to Lucifer, who became Satan the devil. And as 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 makes clear, he is the god of this world. Satan the devil is. But God's plan is to change that. But in order for that transition to happen, somebody had to qualify. And Christ came to qualify to replace Satan on the throne. You can study Matthew chapter 4 for the Titanic battle that took place. And you understand a lot about the fight that we have to engage. The second reason why Christ came was to announce the future establishment of the kingdom of God and to teach his future apostles. Christ came to announce a better world, something that we always end our programs with. We talk about the world tomorrow. Christ came here to teach us the details, to share with us the future plans. The third reason Christ came was to pay the penalty for our sins. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to pay that penalty. God will never compromise with that. Christ came to pay that penalty for us. The fourth reason why he came was to be resurrected from the dead, to make eternal life possible for all of us. And lastly, Christ came to establish God's true church. It's been great being with you. Sorry we bounced all over the place today. I hope you request Mystery of the Ages and come back tomorrow for the Trumpet Daily.